Good morning. This is 2022-0458 in the matter of the application of East Ohio Gas Company doing business as Dominion Energy Ohio for the approval of an alternative form of regulation to establish a capital expenditure program rider mechanism. Serving in place of Justice Joseph Dieters is Judge Chris Epley of the Second District Court of Appeals. Thank you, Judge, for joining us today.
Thank you, Chief Justice.
On behalf of the appellant, Mr. Stinson, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you, Your Honor. My name's Dane Stinson. I represent the Northeast Ohio Public Energy Council, and I'll be arguing for the joint appellants today. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The issue in this case is really straightforward. Should Dominion be permitted to charge its customers a stale cost of debt of 6.5% approved in the 2007 rate case when it has since refinanced that cost of debt to 2.25%? Of course not. Permitting Dominion to charge the outdated cost of debt will force Dominion's customers to pay estimated windfall profits of over $70 million. Think of it like this. Suppose you take out a home mortgage at 6.5%. You thereafter refinance it to 2.5%. You shouldn't be paying the bank, continue to pay the bank 6.5%. And that's what Dominion is requiring its captive customers to do. This appeal arises from the PUCO's approval of Dominion's alternative rate case. The plan proposes rates that Dominion will charge customers for its capital investments. Now, counsel for Dominion and the PUCO likely will get up here and say that the statutes don't require the PUCO to determine reasonable rates or a reasonable rate of return, and that's just wrong. Ohio law is clear. Section 4909.18 of the revised code provides, and I state, the burden of proof to show that the proposals in the application are just and reasonable shall be upon the public utility. The proposals in Dominion's application are rates and rate of return. There's no way for Dominion and the PUCO to evade the fact that the PUCO has to determine a just and reasonable rate of return in this case and reasonable rates. Now, the PUCO set Dominion's rates by applying his proposed rate of return to his proposed capital investments set forth in the application. Now, the PUCO didn't determine Dominion's current cost of debt or equity. Instead, the PUCO adopted the outdated cost of debt from 2007. The commission found that its precedent required it to do so. That's wrong. The PUCO was not required to follow its precedent in this case. This court permits the PUCO to depart from its precedent for good cause, and the PUCO had good cause because the 2007 cost of debt was outdated and stale. In fact, the PUCO departed from their precedent in this very case. When Dominion filed its application, it asked the PUCO to adopt the 2007 rate of return, and the PUCO refused, distinguishing prior precedent. And the PUCO's precedent on the issue is not one-sided. The PUCO has found in other cases it has rejected a 13-year-old cost of debt in a transmission case, finding that it was stale and it required more current data. In another Columbus Southern Power case, the PUCO did use the prior cost of debt, but the PUCO stated if the rate of return or cost of debt were more than 2 or 3 years old, it wouldn't have done so. The point of all this is that the PUCO has agreed that a just and reasonable rate of return must be based on recent market conditions. The 2007 rate of return cost of debt in this proceeding was not. Now, this case was submitted to the PUCO under the partial stipulation standard. NOPEC and OCC opposed the stipulation for several reasons, but the primary reason was the rate of return issue. The third prong of the three-part test used for considering partial stipulations requires that the stipulation be rejected if it violates any important regulatory principle. Now, adopting a 12-year-old cost of debt and not one based upon current market conditions violates an important regulatory principle. It is a regulatory principle embraced by the PUCO itself in the Columbus Southern Power cases I just discussed. It is also a regulatory principle embraced by this court in the Babbitt case and the U.S. Supreme Court in the Bluefield case. This case is just that simple. For an alternative regulation plan to be approved, its rates must be just and reasonable. For rates to be just and reasonable, they must be based on a reasonable rate of return. For a rate of return to be just and reasonable, it must be based upon current market conditions. The 12-year-old 6.5 cost of debt was not based upon current market conditions. The PUCO invited an important regulatory principle, and its order should be reversed and remanded on that basis alone. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Margard, good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court, good morning. The appellants, as you've just heard, are asking this court to have the Public Utilities Commission treat these cases like base rate cases. This is not base rate case. This is an alternative regulation case. The commission did not abuse its discretion in granting the application of Dominion Energy Ohio for a capital expenditure plan. It followed the law and its precedents in finding that the plan itself was just and reasonable. It followed the law and the precedents in finding that the rate mechanism for recovering those capital costs was just and reasonable. The decision was based on the record in this case.
How do you, one of your arguments is that the standard for assessing reasonableness was misapplied. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, nowhere in the alternative regulation statutes does it require the commission to adopt a rate of return or specify what that rate of return should be. Okay. That's a fundamental distinction from base rate cases. In base rate cases, there's a very clear formula on what the rate of return should be, how it should be determined, and what it should be applied to. That language actually initially applied in the alternative regulation statute. Initially, that statute required that the commission determine a rate of return based on section 4909.15, the base rate case statute. That specific provision was deleted from the statute in 2011. So the General Assembly made it very clear that the commission no longer needed to apply the base rate case rate of return determination when it came to alternative regulation cases. And that's appropriate, and that's why there is no violation of the regulatory practices and principles here.
So, Mr. Margard, for a period of time on this debt, Dominion's paid one rate and then was able to refinance it to a lower rate. So, is Dominion asking for just what its costs are? I mean, are they splitting it, or is they just going with the higher rate all the way through? And consumers just have to pay that higher rate. And if that happens, how much money does Dominion make then in profit?
You've asked a number of questions, and I'll try to address them.
I appreciate that.
In the first instance, yes, they're asking to apply the rate of return that was determined in their most recent base rate case until they have a new base rate case. And that rate of return is higher than testified to by OCC's witness at the hearing in 2020. But the timing here is important. It's important to recognize that that rate of return was determined in a 2007 case, but determined by a commission decision in 2008. The initial investments made by Dominion in this case began in 2011. We're talking about investments that were made over the period of 2011 to 2018. So what the commission has done, and has done consistently in every capital expenditure plan case that has come before it, is apply the rate of return that was in base rates that applied to capital recovery in base rates at the time the investments were made.
2011.
Well, 2008 is when that determination was made, but the investments were made from 2011 through 2018. And during that period of time, The rate of return on recovery of capital assets that was authorized for the company was the higher rate of return.
So they didn't start spending money on the capital assets in 2008. They waited until 2011, correct?
Well, they filed applications for the plan in 2011. That was the first time that they filed for a capital expenditure plan. And that plan, they filed another one in 2013 to extend it and to further extend it in 2014. So three times Dominion came before the commission asking for authorization for its capital expenditure plan. And three times the commission approved that plan, recognizing the rate of return that was already in effect for Dominion Energy. It's in this case, they're asking for recovery of those costs. But they first sought the ability to make those investments in 2011.
But are they asking for the recovery dollar for dollar or just the higher rate, even though they are now paying the debt at a lower rate?
And that's also an important question because there are a lot of things involved in this case. And the appellants are just kind of cherry-picking this one little aspect, and they're just picking it in this instance because it favors them. I think it's important
to
recognize—
because they're consumers.
Well, because in this particular instance, rates were low. In another instance, just about the same time, the commission was considering credits back to customers based on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And in that instance, the appellants, or at least OCC in this case, agreed that the former rate of return should apply. Why? Because that meant that the credits would be higher. So the commission, in its justification here, has made it very clear that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Right, we're applying this even-handedly. In some instances, it's going to benefit customers, and in some instances, it's going to benefit the company.
Except my question was, if the goose-gander analogy is going to apply here, how much money does Dominion Energy realize because of that application?
And thank you, and I did mean to get to that. I don't recall the exact amount. It seems to me that the windfall that appellants are claiming is something in the magnitude of $70 million. But I think it's also important to recognize that as part of the audits that were conducted in this case, and we had an independent outside auditor in addition to the commission staff, that a review of the company's earnings was undertaken, and the company was found not to be over-earning. And as part of the stipulation that was agreed to, that was approved by the commission, the company will continue to report to the commission what its earnings were, and the commission will continue to evaluate those to ensure that the company, in fact, does not over-earn. So the company will not be earning more than it was authorized to at the time of that 2008 rate case.
Because of credits?
Well, no, just because of the structure of this mechanism.
Well, because the authorization was for whatever the percentage was. I understand.
That's great.
Thank you.
That help? Good.
What's the point of having a hearing if they always adopt the base rate in an alternative rate case?
Thank you. The purpose of the hearing is to see if maybe there is some reason why the commission should depart from its precedent. The commission found in this instance that OCC had not met that burden. They just focused on a very small aspect of this case and a very small aspect of the rate of return calculation. For example, in addition to refinancing its debt, and refinancing its debt years after the last investment that they're seeking to recover through this mechanism, in addition to refinancing its debt, its capital structure changed. That's something that wasn't considered at all by OCC as part of its testimony. So what the commission found, they heard the evidence, but they determined that OCC had not demonstrated that there was any reason for it to depart from its precedent. And its precedent is important here. Appellants want to cite a number of cases where the commission has done something different. But in each and every single one of those cases, either involves an electric utility or involves a carrying cost, none of them relate to natural gas companies. None of them relate to Ohio's alternative regulation scheme. None of them relate to recovery of capital costs. Those so-called exceptions simply don't apply. The commission in this instance adhered to its precedent, followed its precedent. The commission's decision was lawful and reasonable, should be affirmed. I yield the remainder of my time.
Mr. Lofton, good morning.
Chief Justice Kennedy, may it please the court, good morning. My name is Robert Lofton from McGuire Woods in Richmond, Virginia, on behalf of the intervening appellee, the East Ohio Gas Company, doing business as Dominion Energy Ohio. Dominion joins with the commission. We believe the judgment of the commission should be affirmed in its entirety. I think that the real issue, and Mr. Margard touched on this, the real issue that the appellants have is with alternative rate making. As he referenced, the General Assembly in 2011 in House Bill 95 removed the requirement that a rate of return be determined in an alternative rate making proceeding. And the commission instead is charged with determining whether the plan itself submitted by the utility is just and reasonable. And that's exactly what the commission did here. It applied its precedent, as Mr. Margard stated, that it is adhered to 100% of the time, where it has found, where it has applied the rate of return from the last rate case, and required the utility to use that to determine whether the plan that it has submitted is just and reasonable.
Do you think that policy rationale is because of essentially a utility, even though publicly regulated, is a business that conditions, all kinds of conditions fluctuate, and it allows the utility to manage its affairs?
Yes, Your Honor. I think there are at least two reasons why the General Assembly has done it. One, as you've referenced, there's an enormous amount of volatility in the market. And what the appellants did is, as the commission recognized, they cherry-picked one data item regarding the cost of debt from 2020, which was 2 years after the period of time for the investments at issue in our application. And so the commission, and I think more importantly, the General Assembly has recognized there's a lot of volatility. And with an alternative rate-making plan, the purpose is to promote investment. And it, both for, by the utility and the investors of the utility, to promote investment in infrastructure items that are necessary to the safe and reliable and efficient functioning here of a gas utility. And so the commission has ordered Dominion to come in later this year for a base rate proceeding. And at that point, the 2020 cost of debt at that point would be relevant. You know, what the appellants did not flag, the commission made a little bit of reference to this, but when the cost of debt was refinanced in 2020, excuse me, the capital structure changed. And part of the reason why the cost of debt was less expensive is it became more weighted heavily, more heavily weighted to equity, which is more expensive. And so there are a lot of facts that aren't in the record that the commission recognized what the appellants did in focusing on one data item. One, it's inapplicable and it's irrelevant. Two, if that's the way an alternative rate making proceeding is going to function, there will be no predictability for an investor in a utility or for a utility to know how they can plan to do infrastructure upgrades. Did that answer?
That does. Thank you.
So here,
you mentioned volatility. Does adopting a 12-year-old rate adequately address that volatility?
I think it ensures that there is not volatility, Judge Epley. I think it makes sure that, and what the commission does, and it does this uniformly for all utilities, they know that when they come in for an alternative rate making proceeding, the rate of return from the last base rate is going to be the baseline that will be applied to the investments that have been made. So here in Dominion, what Dominion did, as Mr. Margard referenced, the base rate was determined in 2008. In 2011, Dominion started making applications for capital expenditure riders. All those costs were deferred, and then the Dominion at the end of the day expended roughly $700 million. And then in 2019, we made the application to start the recovery process for those costs. So all of the costs, all the money was spent with the understanding that the base rate from the 2008 proceeding was going to apply. And then when we come back in later on this fall, the commission, the appellants, they like to say that there's a windfall. There's no evidence of a windfall. As Mr. Margard referenced, Dominion has come in annually for audits and reviews by staff. There's never been a finding that Dominion is over-earning on the expenses that it is investing in for these capital expenditures. And so the process that the commission has put in place is one that ensures, to your point about volatility, it ensures for the utility that there is predictability. And we know coming into the commission, we have an understanding of how the process is going to go. We understand what the basic rate of return is going to be for our investors. And I think that ultimately is to the benefit of consumers in Ohio, because that provides the necessary funds to ensure that the infrastructure, which is the purpose that behind the General Assembly's creation of alternative rate making, the infrastructure gets built and gets upgraded and is done in a way that provides consumers with reliable service and ensures that the utility is able to get a return on the investments that are made. So unless the court has any other questions, we would ask for the judgment of the commission to be affirmed in its entirety.
Thank you. Mr. Stinson, you have 9 minutes and 33 seconds remaining.
That's quite a bit. Thank you.
Well, counsel, I'll take some of that. did you put in the record capital borrowing rates from 2011 to 2018?
I'm sorry?
Did you put into the record before the PUCO capital borrowing rates from 2011 to 2018?
No, we didn't need to, because rates are set prospectively in this case, Your Honor. That's the whole focus of this case, that rates are set prospectively. They're based on the current market conditions. We're not talking about the investment or the carrying charges that Dominion had from 2011 to 2018. We're talking about the prospective rates they're going to be charging from the day of the commission's order until 2024. Now,
if interest rates increase, as they have been recently with the Fed, is that taken into account?
You know, the thing is about Dominion saying that NOPEC and OCC are cherry picking.
Yes, that's why I'm asking the question.
And the reason I'm responding is that Dominion has the opportunity to come before the commission whenever it wants to set rates. What's been happening, it's been riding that wave. It's going to ride that wave for 17 years from rates from 2007. And that's not fair to consumers. In fact.
But it's. The stipulation is there'll be a rate making procedure next year, right?
Yes. That's not going to help us from 2020 through 2000 probably 25. That's where the $70 million is coming in, that we're going to be paying for the delta between what rates should be and what they're charging from 2007. So we're paying over $70 million in this case for those 5 years.
You really don't have that information, though, right? Because you've only focused on one part of the equation, right? You've only focused on those the interest rates.
No.
You've done everything that would be done in a rate proceeding. You put all that information in the record.
Let me clarify some of the confusion that staff and Dominion are trying to create. That there are two separate proceedings, a rate proceeding. And that's governed by what we call the rate-making formula in 4909.15. And there's also the adjustment proceeding we're talking about now, okay? So what the legislature did when they amended the statutes, they said you don't have to go through all of the full-blown rate-making issues. This is a single issue about recovering the distribution investment. And the way you do that is by taking that cost of that investment and applying a rate of return. So the difference between what we do for that infrastructure investment in a full-blown rate case is absolutely no different from what we're doing in this alternative regulation case. And what the appellees don't recognize is that 4909.18 applies to both. The data the PUCO requires, which are called the standard filing requirements, require both. The commission's rules require both. So we're still talking about, in this case, a single issue, rate-making issue for infrastructure. We need to set a reasonable rate of return for that. That's what 4909.18 requires. So this talk about, you know, a big rate case and all this, and it's not all before you. This is a single issue case. And OCC and NOPEC was the only party below at the commission to file what the cost of, or the rate of return, the cost of debt, cost of equity should be. And that is undisputed, And what the commission did was against the manifest weight of that evidence.
How many people are served by Dominion Energy?
I'm sorry?
How many people are served by Dominion Energy?
That escapes me, Your Honor, but I would, I'm not gonna guess, but it's I would venture to guess somewhere in a million. It's public record that can be accessed, but I'm not.
I think it's in the PUCO order, but I'm not locating it. Thank you.
Well, I think what we state is that in Dominion's territory, NOPEC and OC serve somewhere over a million customers.
Pardon me?
Somewhere over a million customers.
Thank you.
You know what they're proposing is that the commission doesn't have to set reasonable rates, doesn't have to review a reasonable rate of return. I mean, that's great for Dominion, and it's great for some investment banker in New York City, but that is a horrifying precedent for the consumers of Ohio to say there's no guardrails on what the rate of return or your rates can be for this alternative rate making, and that's what we need. There are a few other statements that were made, such as, you know, the commission found, reviewed the Dominion's earnings, and they found them to be not excessive. You know, that was a retroactive review. They haven't really reviewed what's happening now with the alternative rate case that's gone into effect and those rates that are going into effect. One other misstatement I want to correct, too, is the reference to the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And in that case, really, the commission did adjust the rate of return outside of the big, you know, 4909.15 rate case. What happened there is that the federal government reduced taxes. So the commission initiated a case to take into account that decrease. Now, that didn't affect the cost of debt or the cost of equity, because once the cost of debt and the cost of equity are set, the commission grosses that rate of return up so consumers can pay Dominion's federal income tax. The only thing the commission did there was to decrease the tax part of that rate of return. There's not a situation where the commission took increased rates into effect in the Tax Cut and Job Act case. It's a fact that the commission just adjusted that one component. So, you know, Dominion's going to be talking about cherry picking. Well, there's a cherry pick on the rate of return there, too. The commission can do it. But above all, in the case below, OCC and NOPEC were the party that presented what the rate of return should be in all of its components. We didn't dispute what the distribution cost would be. So what we're talking about are the undisputed distribution investment times the rate of return that's contested. We have that only evidence on the record. So I would ask the court to reverse the commission, remand the case to the commission for further review, and consistent with OCC's and NOPEC's testimony below. I appreciate it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement. You will receive a decision from the court.